Live from Houston, Texas, the humidity capital of the world, it's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Hey guys, let's get the boat on. No, let's get the show on the road. I don't know about the boat, but let's get the show going here. My first guest, Linda McCarthy. Linda McCarthy has a PhD in metaphysical counseling and is a board-certified life strategist coach with the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. She's also a member of the American Holistic Medical Association and co-author of the best-selling book, The Wellness Code. Linda is also an inspirational speaker, featured contributor to online magazines, and the winner of the Editor's Choice Award for The Wellness Code. As a life makeover expert, her passion to show clients how their thoughts, feelings, and emotions have a profound effect on their mind, body, and spirit. Linda is located in Scottsdale, Arizona, but offers phone consultation throughout the United States. It's always a great pleasure to have Linda on the show. Linda McCarthy, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thank you so much. Happy Monday, everyone. You and I are both big fans of Monday, so
yes.
Let's get a new start to a new week.
That's right. Monday's like the do-over day.
Great. It is. I don't know why people don't like Mondays. It's like, don't dread it.
Well, probably.
Look forward to it.
You know what? And here's my thought. If you don't like Mondays, it's possibly because you don't like the job that you're at. So maybe it's time for change.
Well, that's an interesting segue into our show today, isn't it?
It is, because last time you were on the
job.
Show, you met. Yeah, wasn't that great? That's why I get paid the big bucks, man. You have to know
you,
how to segue into the
absolutely.
Topic.
Absolutely.
All right, so anyway, last time you were on the show, you mentioned, and we just started to talk about the effects of stress at work. Now, let me ask you this. Can a workplace really be hazardous to our health? What's your take?
You know, I really wanted to do this show for a number of reasons, but mostly because, excuse me, I'm seeing so many clients, probably now more than ever, from suffering from burnout. And it doesn't matter what walk of life. There can be medical professionals. I have white-collar executives and hourly employees. They're all experiencing the exact same symptoms. And when I started doing research on job-related stress, I came across a term. I had heard of it years ago, but wasn't really familiar with it. I don't know if you've heard of it, Bert. It's called, I know it's pronounced a couple of different ways, karoshi or karoshi. Have you ever heard of that?
No. Now, is that, do you get that at the sushi bar? No, I'm just kidding.
Let's hope not, and I'll tell you why. Because the word, I'm going to pronounce it karoshi, means death by overwork. And it really wasn't unusual for Japanese workers who put in 15-hour days without vacations or even taking a sick day, because if you did that, that was a sign of honor, even if it killed
you.
And karoshi wasn't even recognized. I think it was like 1987 when over 10,000 people a year were dying, and the Japanese Ministry of Labor could no longer overlook it. And although the numbers were shocking, I really didn't see the direct correlation between Japan and the U.S. until I started doing my research. And what I found was that with every electronic device available now, you don't need to be a doctor to be on call 24/7. Because we've developed this intimate relationship with these devices, so much so I can go anywhere in the world. And the phone is getting more attention than anybody else at the table if I go out to dinner.
Yes.
In fact, you know, recent studies said the average person checks their messages every 6 minutes. It's like Pavlov's dog. You know, they're looking for that random reward. Maybe I got a text. Maybe there's an update on my Facebook. Maybe I got an email. So now let's.
I'm giggling because you know it's so true, especially the younger the user of technology, the more they're addicted to it, because It's that instant validation. Ooh, somebody just liked my post, or ooh, somebody just, you know, said something about my video. So, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt, but go ahead.
No, that's okay, because we live in a society of instant gratification. So now let's fast forward to the office. Okay, now the office, they have the ability, right, to text us, email us, call us anytime. We those days where we would say, I'm sorry, I wasn't home, I missed your call, those days are gone. Because our phone, they've become another appendage. And we've really just lost our ability to shut down, even if it's go to the bathroom. I mean, I hear people all the time on their phones in the bathroom.
I know.
And it's crazy. I'm sorry. I just think that's wrong. Please don't do that. But I was just reading a study recently by Oxford Health Plan, and they said that 1 in 5 Americans come to work regularly sick and even hurt. And over a third of the workers decline their paid vacations. And we only get 14 days, most people, only average about 14 days a year, which is one of the lowest of all the developed nations. In fact, when I was doing my research, I found that there's a Workaholics Anonymous. It's workaholicsanonymous.org. They have a quiz you can take. And the chapters are growing like crazy all over this country. So my question is, like, why are we so afraid to take time off? Like, is it fear that you won't have your job when you get back, or fear that you're going to be out of the loop, you might miss something, or just fear of not being needed? Because you need to decompress. If you don't, your body will do it for you.
Right. Well, you know, and it's funny because that we're talking about this topic, because for years now I've been a big proponent of having a 4-day work week. Not only does it, you know, supposedly save a lot of money on bills and things of that nature for corporations, and now government municipalities are moving in that direction, but I think it's just the additional time that we need to decompress, because as it is, whether we're effective or not, we're probably spending 10 hours on average at the office. And I think that if we took a couple of 2 or 3 days off every week, I think our stress is going to go way down, our effectiveness is going to go up, and we're going to be more rested. Because really, and I'm not trying to sound, what do you call it, like an alarmist, but 2 days off work sometimes isn't enough if you have a family. And like you said, you're connected, you know, via the internet, via the phone, you know, and so really by the time you get to decompress, it's already Sunday, and you're just finally starting to relax. It's just not enough time.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Let me ask you this. Let's talk about this. What are some of the different types of job stressors out there? What have you found?
Well, the stressors vary, but really the reaction in our body is the same. And we, and please, everyone, don't just take this in the context in which it's meant, okay? But we prostitute ourselves. We prostitute ourselves by working long hours with demanding workloads for a paycheck, and it's usually in an environment you don't even like.
Right.
So, you know, there's the stressors of the people that you work with. Do you get along with them, or are they a pain in your neck? And there's that stressor, again, of sacrificing your integrity, you know, putting on that mask and selling your soul to the company. And I have clients that they really feel powerless because their superior either takes credit for their work or blames them for their mistakes. And one thing that people don't think about, but it's a big stressor, is clutter in the workspace. Because when I see clutter, either in their home, their office, or in their car even, that to me is a sign that there's clutter on the inside. And clutter means files that never get put away, papers that need to be shredded, even trash that needs to be thrown out.
Right.
It really does impede your ability to focus. In fact, there's research to support it. They used functional MRIs and mapped the brain's response to organized and disorganized stimuli. And what they found was that when the clutter was cleared, that individual was more productive, able to process information better, and less irritated. So,
sure. I'm thinking that you know, if your work area is free of clutter, then you also feel better about your environment. It's a more harmonious work environment.
Right. Exactly. Clear the clutter.
Clear, you know, and it's so funny because I just posted that on Facebook, and I think you responded to it. It's interesting that this correlation here, because the reason that I'm clearing my clutter is because I can no longer take it. It's stressing me out.
Exactly.
It's so disgusting in my office that it's not even fun to work. And so I've had it. And so now that you've said this, I'm more than motivated to just put everything in a box and haul it out to the curb.
There you go. Clear the clutter. Yep, get rid of it. It really is de-stressing. I think it's therapeutic, actually.
Sure. It's like, not to be gross, kind of like an enema. It just clears everything out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, your words, not mine.
All right. Well, you know what? And back to your comment about us prostituting ourselves. Absolutely correct. And you also mentioned earlier in the segment about, you know, why do we have this competitive environment at the office where we feel we have to put in all these hours? It is fear-driven, because if you're not putting in these hours, your boss might chastise you. You may not get the promotion. Somebody else who's putting in more hours than you will get the promotion you're looking for. So it is fear-based. You know, the reality is, I don't think we need to put in more hours. We just have to be more present in the hours that we're putting in, because we're not effective. I mean, researchers show that in a 8 or 10 hour day, you're only really working about 2 or 3 hours.
Well, that's correct. But you also need to change. I feel that you need to change your perception of your work environment, because it's showing up as symptoms in people's bodies. They're getting sick from their workplace, you know, and although, you know, things like backaches and, you know, headaches, those are pretty common symptoms. Another byproduct of stress is weight gain. People don't understand that, but cortisol plays a big role in that. And when your cortisol levels are high, your body either holds on to or even increases your body fat, especially in your midsection. But, you know, those, although they're unpleasant, I'm not really all that concerned about that. My concern is inflammation in your body, because inflammation is a byproduct of stress. And most diseases start out as minor inflammation in the body. In fact, the director of the Metabolic Institute of the Cleveland Clinic, Dr. Shah, said, and I quote, chronic inflammation plays a direct role in diabetes, high blood pressure, asthma, and there are clear indications that inflammation is the main cause of the buildup of plaque in the arteries, which causes a heart attack. Now, if that doesn't get your attention, nothing will.
And let me tell you guys, I have a personal experience with that inflammation in heart, and relating to heart attack. My brother, who's very slim, his total cholesterol was under 150.
Mm-hmm.
Suffered a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's
absolutely.
like an absolute, I don't know, you know, kind of a weird miracle. I mean, the doctor looked at his information and said, this is, you know, the first time he's ever seen somebody with this low cholesterol suffer a heart attack. And what it was is that, A, he's stressed out. B,
right.
His good cholesterol was almost non-existent.
Right.
And so, but primarily it was stress-related. He had to change his stress. He started to work out and really start taking care of his body. Let's talk about this. Are there ways to counteract the stress response, or at least
Absolutely.
Learn to recognize it when we're experiencing it?
Absolutely. Dr. Lisa Rankin just recently wrote a book. It's called Mind Over Medicine, and she said, write your own prescription. So I'm going to ask you, what does that look like for you? And if you don't know, think about this. Just start out by taking your energy temperature. There's no thermometers required. Okay, and by that, what I mean is just see where your energy level is. Is it spiking or is it falling? And some things that you can do right away at the office is just move. Get up and move. Get some circulation going in your body. Listen to your body. What does it need? Do you need to stretch? Do you need to hydrate? Do you need an attitude check? Because remember, your body doesn't know the difference between reality and imagination. And endorphins will pump into your body when you smile, so find something or someone to smile about. But if you're really serious about making changes, and I know this is going to hit a nerve, you have to take responsibility for it. and change your perception. Because when you change your perception, you change your reality. What I ask my clients all the time, what are the side effects of being you?
Because I love it. What are the side effects of being you? Oh, what a great thought for everybody to really meditate on. What is the side effects of being you?
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned these things at the office, you know, what does your body need? I bet you that a large percentage of our bodies need more rest because, again, we get up, we're putting in these long hours, you're dealing with the kids, and most of us are running on energy drinks. Years ago, when I had a regular job, I used to, you know, for lunch, I would eat my meal, and then I would slide under my cubicle and take a nap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people made fun of me because they'd walk by and they'd see me laying on the floor. But you know what? I was always rested, and I ended up getting, you know, ended up reaching my my goals and got promoted and continued that because I think that if you're rested, you have less stress, and you're also performing better.
But remember also, you're the chemist of your own body. So you're the ones that make the cortisol, the adrenaline. So you truly are writing your own prescription.
I love it. I
and
love it. We're out of time, but we got. But I want to end on this. What is the side effect of being you? I think that's great, Dr. Linda McCarthy. We're out of time, but great, great information. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. Guys, we're off and running. Great information there by Dr. Linda McCarthy. What is a side effect of being you? What are the side effects of being you? And also, you can write your own prescription. I love it. Great information. Guys, as always, thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate you coming by here, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.